I have looked forward to this time also. My wife and I, we've longed for time to get to spend. We had a great time. We had, what am I? My wife just gave me a signal. Something wrong with my. What will you do without wife? I already lost my liberty. It is an honor to be here. And we do thank the Lord for the fellowship that He has brought us into His family. And it is a universal language of grace. No matter where you find God's people, there's only one faith, one hope, one gospel. And the Lord has His sheep all over the world. And no matter where they are, and what country, what language, what culture, when the Lord does a work of grace in the heart of the people, we're one with them. And the church in Medina sends you their greetings. And I would be wrong not to tell you that my dad sent his greetings too. He said, tell them all good things. You know my dad, you know that salute, that salutation. But they're doing well. They're healthy. And he is taking over the services while I'm here in Medina. And we do appreciate your faithfulness and your support, your prayer for us, and your fellowship in the gospel with us all these many years. All these many years. Tonight, I would like to bring a message on things that must be, things that must be, in order for you and I, men and women, sinners by nature, sinners by practice, sinners by choice, in order for you and I to stand before a holy God, what things must be, what things must be. And my text is all found in John, in the book of John. And we'll be looking at several texts, but we'll be looking at this word, must. We'll be looking at this word, must. You know, when the Lord says something must be, the Lord has declared, the Lord has decreed these things. These things are so. And He will bring them to pass. I'm so thankful that salvation is not a chance. Salvation is not a venture. Let's see if it will happen. But it's all determined by God, almighty purpose and grace in Christ Jesus from before the foundation of the world. And I want us to look in John chapter 9 at this first verse. Now, they're not in order, but I'm trying to put them in some kind of order. It wouldn't matter how we looked at them. All these things must be. And in John chapter 9, our Lord is speaking to His disciples. And look in verse 1. It says, and Jesus passed by. And as Jesus passed by, He saw a man which was blind from birth. And His disciples asked Him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Our Lord is not saying that this man was not a sinner, or that his parents were not a sinner, but this is what our Lord is saying. God is going to bring honor and glory to His name, and given this man eyes to see. And this is what's true of His church. His church. All of man fell in sin. Fell in sin and our father, Adam, that God may bring honor and glory to His name in the saving of His people. That the works of God may be manifest. This is His greatest glory. How He may save sinners. How He may be just and justify a sinner. And this is why the fall. This is the reason of the fall. That God may bring honor and glory to His name in showing mercy to sinners. That's not hard. That's just the way it is. It says, He said, neither has this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Now here's the first must. If a man is going to see God, if his church is going to be able to see the Lord Jesus Christ, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God in Jesus Christ and God's sin. If a man is going to see God, the Lord Jesus Christ, God must do it. God must. Here's the first point. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord from beginning to end. We know that salvation is of the Lord in election. He chose a people. But election is not salvation. It's unto salvation. If there's any man going to be before God, see God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, made flesh, must do the work. This is what he says in verse 4. I must do the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. This work that he's talking about is the work of redemption of his people, the salvation of his people. He must do that work that he was sent to do. What is that work that he was sent to do? Well, in order for you and I to stand before God, we need to have a righteousness. We need to have the righteousness of God himself. We need to have the righteousness of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, came into this world, was made flesh. And in as a man, he established righteousness here on the earth. He established righteousness here on the earth as a man. In John 6, verse 29, our Lord said this. Jesus, these men asked him, what shall we do? Then say they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God. It's the work of God that you believe on him whom he has sent. That is to say, or what he's saying is, if you believe on God, that's God's work. It's God's work that you believe on God. In other words, the Lord gives faith. Faith, the evidence of the work of the Holy Spirit in a person, in a new creature. It's a new creature that believes God. But that faith that He gives you, He doesn't believe on your part. You believe. And when you believe, you know it's of Him. We're saved by the faith of Christ. We believe in Christ to be saved by the faith of Christ. He must establish righteousness. Our Lord said this in Hebrews chapter 10. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 5, our Lord said, sacrifice. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. A body. The eternal Son of God was made flesh. This is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. And as a man, he established righteousness. He fulfilled the law of God. Every jot and every tittle. That's the righteousness that we're dressed in. That's the righteousness by which every believer comes before God. He is the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Tzidkenu. He came to fulfill. Sacrifice thou wouldest not. A body hast thou prepared me. And burnt offering and sacrifice for sins thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Above when he said sacrifice and offering and burnt offering and offerings for sin thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein. which are offered by the law. Then said he, Lo, I come and to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. He came to do the Father's will. He subjected himself, the eternal Son of God subjected himself to the Father's will to establish righteousness here on the earth as a man. That must be done, or else no man can come before God. God is, our God is a consuming fire. Holy, holy, holy. And when we come before His presence, how thankful we are that we are accepted in the Beloved, because we have the righteousness of God. He who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. So that's the first thing. Salvation is of the Lord. And He said, I must do the works of Him that sent me while it is day. I have to do the work while I'm here on the earth. Salvation is an accomplished work. It's not a halfway done job and you've got to add to it. There is no salvation. There is no hope for someone who adds anything to that finished work. Our Lord said, it is finished. He cried on the cross, it is finished. And the Apostle Paul said it like this in Galatians, if you be circumcised, Christ profits you nothing. That what that means is if you do one, if you lift one little finger to try to add to that finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, that righteousness that He has provided, then Christ shall profit you nothing. You've fallen from grace. And He finished it. All that God required of Him, He finished it. The Father said of Him, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And all those that are in Him, He's well pleased in Him. Well, here's the second thing. If any man is going to be before God, not only must a righteousness be established, look at John 3, verse 14. There's another text where the word must shows up. In John 3, 14, our Lord is speaking to Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a ruler that came to the Lord by night, a ruler of the Pharisees. And he said, our Lord told Nicodemus, Nicodemus, you must be born again. I'm jumping the point there, but I want to look at verse 14. Here's the second one. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. It's not enough for the Lord Jesus Christ to live. He didn't come just to live a perfect life, to give you an example of how you must live to get to heaven. No one can come before God except they be in the righteousness of Christ. But it's more than just that righteousness. We have a debt that we owe. His people has a debt they owe that they cannot pay. And He must put an end to sin. The Son of God must be lifted up. The Lord Jesus Christ had to be lifted up on the cross and there be made a curse for His people. It is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. And our Lord Jesus Christ was lifted up on the cross and He was made a curse for us. He who knew no sin, when the sins of His people were laid on the Lord Jesus Christ, He became the guilty one. The one who knew no sin, who did no sin. He died in the place of His people to put away the sins of His people. He came to save His people from their sin by His death, by His blood. There is no forgiveness of sins apart from the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other way. There's no salvation apart from the shedding of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He made a sacrifice for sins. You know, in that story, Moses lifted up that serpent according to the word of the Lord. He lifted up that serpent in the wilderness and told the people, look at that serpent and live. And this is the same commandment that is coming forth now. Look unto the Lord Jesus Christ. That serpent was made in the fashion of those serpents who were biting all the people. And they were dying like flies. And Moses made that serpent, lifted it up on a pole, and he said, look and live. And the same thing is coming forth from the gospel right now. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look to His sacrifice. Look to His payment for sin. And be saved. Only by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He must put away the sins of His people. And bless God, He did put away the sins of His people. He did put away the sins of His people. You know, when somebody wrongs you, is it so that you remember, you forgive them, but we're supposed to forget, but I don't know if anybody could forget. Say, I forgive you. But you know, God who knows all things, God who knows all things, in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, He says this of His people. He said, their sins and iniquities I remember no more. Such is the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that has separated the sins of His people as far as the east is from the west. The Lord said, the psalmist said this, Lord, if Thou shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with Thee. The forgiveness is found in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ only. He put away the sins of His people. Well, look at John chapter 20. This is the third. John chapter 20. He must establish righteousness here on the earth. He must go to the cross and die in the place, in the room of His people, a sacrifice for the sins of His people. And also in verse 20, it says of John 9, for as yet they knew not the Scriptures that He must rise again from the grave. He must rise again from the dead. It was necessary that He rise. We serve a true living God. He is risen from the dead. He must be risen from the dead. There is no salvation apart from the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. The Apostle Paul said, if Christ be not risen, forget about it. No, there is no salvation. If Christ be not risen from the dead, then we're found to be liars. You're still in your sins and there's no hope. But the Lord Jesus Christ was raised from the dead on the third day. God was satisfied with the sacrifice. Substitution and satisfaction. God was satisfied with the payment the Lord Jesus Christ made for His people. When the same justice of God that demanded His death also demanded His release. It was impossible, it says in the Psalm, that death should behold Him. It was impossible that death should hold Him. Why? Because He paid in full. The reason why separation from God, hell, is forever is because God's justice never cries, I have enough. God's justice never cries, I have enough. If you and I were to pay for one sin in eternity, it would never, God's justice would never cry, I have enough. But in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, when the Lord died on the cross and was buried 3 days in the grave, in the ground, and the Lord said, I have enough. Deliver Him. Oh, bless it. You know what? When He rose again, all those for whom He died rose with Him. It must be. It must be. This is our salvation. He rose again. He's sitting right now at the right hand of the Majesty on high. He is living forever to make intercession to those that come to God by Him. He must be risen from the dead. He was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. Justification. Well, satisfaction is rendered. He justified His people from all their sins. Well, these things are true. They must be. They must be. The Lord Jesus Christ must do this work. Now, in order for you and I to stand before God, His people must be made new creatures. Must be made new creatures. Look at John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Flesh and blood cannot inherit eternal life. What's born of the flesh is flesh. It'll always be flesh. What was born of our parents is always going to be the same. But only those who are born of the Spirit of God will be in God's presence, enjoying His presence forever. We must be born again. Nicodemus, we're going back to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. He was coming to the Lord by night. He was going to discuss some theological point. And the Lord stopped him right away and said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. The Lord's answer in verse 3, He said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It must be that His people are made new creatures. New creatures. We must be born of the Holy Spirit. No one who is not born of the Holy Spirit, who has a holy nature, will be able to stand before God. You must be born again. And then the Lord said in verse 5, and answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. This is the sovereign work of God in giving life to His people, whoever He will. He says, I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy, and I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. He gives life sovereignly, mysteriously. By the preaching, by the water and the Spirit. By the preaching of the gospel, and the Holy Spirit blesses it and makes that person a new creature. That's not hard to illustrate. I'm here. You're here. I usually like to pick out a child. But I don't want to pick out a child. But I usually like to pick out a child. There's a child right here. And I ask him, Did you decide to be born when you were going to be born? Think of your birthday. No. Did you decide what parents you were going to be born of? No. Did you decide what country? No. What circumstance? No, no, no. But here you are. But here you are. This physical life we have, God gave it to us. We didn't have anything to do in this physical life. Even so, in the spiritual life, men have nothing to do with it. It's the work of God. But a man must be born again. Born of the Spirit. Born by the Word of God. Well, here's the next thing. If a man is going to be born of the Spirit, born of the Word of God, how is he going to hear the Word of God? Look at John chapter 4 and verse 4. Here's another must. The Lord Jesus Christ must needs go through Samaria. There's another must. Everywhere one of God's children are found in this world, you know, we're all in this world, sheep scattered about. And it really doesn't matter if that sheep is in Timbuktu. You know why that sheep is in Timbuktu? The Lord put him in Timbuktu. Isn't that right? The Lord put him there. And if the Lord put him there, he knows he's there. And he's going to send the gospel. He is the good shepherd that's going to go out looking for his lost sheep. It's his sheep. The Lord Father gave it to him. And he's going to go find him. And this Samaritan woman, she wasn't looking for the Lord. She wasn't looking to know. She had a religion. She was happy in her religion. But the Lord Jesus Christ crossed her path. And the same happens everywhere a person is born of the Spirit of God. The Lord sends a messenger. And it really doesn't matter if the person comes to this place right here or the Lord sends a messenger to Mexico. He's got a sheep. He's got sheep here in Ashland. And the Lord has sent His church saying, Go ye and preach the gospel to every nation. And we have nothing to do with the salvation of God's people as far as we can't give them life. We can't give them faith. We can't give them eyes to see. But we preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We preach the Word. And the Holy Spirit takes it and mysteriously, sovereignly gives life. And that person lives. The evidence of that life, he believes. The evidence of that life, he believes God. He believes the Lord Jesus Christ. So there must be the Lord Jesus Christ going forth to find his sheep. You know, when we go and preach, we try to preach to every person. But if they hear our voice, that's not going to help them any. Isn't that right? The Lord Jesus Christ said, the hour is, and the hour is coming, and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. And they that hear will live. We must hear God's voice. We must hear the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the gospel. The Apostle Paul gave thanks for that same thing. He said, I thank God that when you heard the gospel, you heard the message, you heard it from these lips. But you didn't say that's Paul preaching. That's God speaking to me. And only the Lord Jesus Christ can do that. Must hear Him. He must come seeking His sheep. And He will find His sheep. Not one will be lost. He must go to Samaria and find His sheep. And it's not just those that were right there, the Jews. He said in John chapter 10, in verse 16, He said, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. the reason this world keeps spinning around is because He must have His people. He must have His people. Our Lord is not frustrated. He's not going to be defeated. He is satisfied. He shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. All those that the Father gives him, not one will be lost. And he must go find them. I think, and it may be so, that in this day, the gospel is going forth into places we have no way of knowing where they're going. With this broadcast and the internet, we have no way of knowing how far it's going. But the Lord blesses it. Lord blesses it. He said, other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold and one shepherd. He's still talking about the things that must be. And you know, all these things are things that He does. He's not talking about a man making a decision. These are things that must be. These are things that God has ordained. These are things that are happening right now. And they're going to happen until the end of the world. All right, here's another thing that must be if you and I are going to stand in God's presence. In verse John 30. John 3, verse 30. He must go find his sheep. He will find every one of them. And here's another thing. John the Baptist said this, He must increase, and I must decrease. All of us by nature are proud. All of us by nature think we're somebody. But there's only one who receives all the honor and glory. The song of praise in heaven is, unto Him who loved us, unto Him who washed us in His own blood, made us kings and priests, all praise and honor and glory to Him. There's nobody competing with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is above all. The Lord has given Him a name which is above every name. He has the preeminence in all things. He must increase. When a person understands and sees the Lord Jesus Christ, he knows himself to be nothing, and knows Christ to be everything. Knows Christ to be all my hope, all my righteousness, all my sanctification, all my wisdom. He's everything. And I'm nothing. All my hope, as you sang, where you at? You sang, all my hope is in thee. These things must be in order for a man or a woman to be in God's presence. I thank the Lord for this purpose that these things must be. And they're happening. Well, I pray the Lord bless us too. I thank the Lord for you. Thank the Lord for this time. God bless you.